certainly a big decision today. You've signed Simon Cron to take over as coach for next season. We know he's very well respected and very revered, but the decision has shocked many, with Sampson, of course, a pretty likeable coach and a man that certainly has worked hard to turn the fortunes of the Western Force around.
There's no disagreeing that Tim's a hell of a likeable man, and I really enjoy his company, and he's a hell of a good bloke. But we're challenged here, like every professional sports team, when a coach's contract comes up for renewal, to look around, see what else is out there. And we spent a lot of time considering Tim. Tim was the forefront of every discussion that we had, but also challenged to look abroad within Australia and to see what coach we could actually get that would take us to the next level. And sometimes it's either luck or not luck. And Simon Cron, he was in the second year of a three-year deal with Toyota. He was available. He didn't have to take the two-year option. And we went down a path and had a good discussion with them, with various people from obviously the Tattarang group, including Andrew Forrest. We feel he's the best person to take the club to the next level, and that's no disrespect to what Tim's done. Mm-hmm. He came in Global Rapid Rugby Times. He's been here for 3 years in Super. But with a lot of ambition here from the people that own it, and obviously himself and the players. We think to get to the next level, we have to make some subtle changes, and one of those is definitely the head coach.
Saying that, when you look at Tim's performance so far this season, OK, you've only won two of six matches to start 2022, but you've only failed to the Blue Ribbon franchise, the ACT Brumbies, twice by 1 point. And with a bit of luck, it could have been 4 from 6. Would that have changed the lay of the land regarding Tim Sampson going forward?
No, it's got nothing to do about how we've gone this year. It's all about the vision that the owners of the club have to make this the best club in Australia and the best club in South Pacific rugby, and also then Andrew's keenness to be a domineering force in world rugby. So it's nothing to do with where we are now. I mean, I used to work in cricket, where a cricketer would come in and say, if I didn't get 4 ducks, I'm averaging 100. We could turn around and say, we haven't kicked that last goal, we're 1 from 5. So it's nothing to do with that. It's taking the club forward in the next direction. It's actually trying to build on the work that Tim's done. And the general consensus from all of us, and I'm obviously leading that, is that we need to really focus on building this club over the next 3 to 4 years, and Simon's the person we believe can do that.
Well, the Cron name is very steeped in heritage, isn't it? I think Simon's, is it his uncle? Was it All Blacks guru, Mike Cron? So all of a sudden that the family has been involved in rugby for a long time. But tell us about Simon's pedigree. We know he's been involved with the Wallabies, and he's certainly elite when it comes to coaching.
Yeah, look, even though Simon's a Kiwi, born and bred, he hasn't lived in the country for 20-odd plus years. He's Australian through and through. He's never coached rugby in Australia. Never coached rugby in New Zealand. He's only ever coached in Australia. He took a very average North club who were, always for 40 years hadn't won anything in Sydney. And he took an average team. He turned them into champions over 3 years at the Shoot Shield level, which is no mean feat. He coached Australian under 20. He's been the head forward coach at, obviously, the Waratahs for a couple of years, where most people expected him to get the head coach's role. He decided to go to Japan and work under Steve Hansen for 2 years on a three-year contract. Obviously, it was 3 years, but we managed to secure him. So he comes with a steep rugby history. But I think it's what he's achieved in Australia that's what Andrew and I are most taken by, and it also has ambition to want to coach the Wallabies. And he knows to get to that role, he has to be successful with us. He has to develop force players in the Wallabies, and he has to develop the next force coaches to come through. And I think one of the keys that we're looking forward to is having our head coach develop our coaches, so when we get to the stage again, we can appoint him within.
So just a couple of final questions. Firstly, so Tim's happy to continue until the end of the season?
Oh, absolutely. So, one of the hardest things you ever do, and I'm not pretending it's easy for Tim. It was hard for both of us, but that's what I get paid to do. I informed Tim last Tuesday. I told him that we wouldn't be extending his contract past December 31. We then discussed what I felt was the best for the team, which, in my humble opinion, is that he carries on coaching. Tim's a proud man and an absolute brilliant bloke, and he just said he wouldn't have it any other way. Him and I both spoke to the team on Saturday, because we informed the team for the first time on Saturday. He said that I'm here for the season, I'm not going anywhere. I expect him to do a wonderful job, and hopefully we can turn those one-point losses, which are getting damn annoying, into some victories. And no one'd be more happier for Tim Sampson to go through and take us into a really good run, to make the finals, and make me feel sick in the guts. But you have to make these calls when things come available, and I stand by the decision we've made.
And Tony, as we let you go, just going away from the coaching stakes, I've heard that Fergus Lee Warner is leaving the Force. One of the best. People still can't understand how he didn't make the Wallabies squad, but I believe he's heading overseas.
Yeah, look, that's one of them. I spoke to Fergus numerous times over the last year, and he's just been frustrated that no one at the Wallabies has... It's not that he's not even getting selected. No one's spoken to him. And you see the young boy, Frost, who plays the other night, they're trying to turn him around and get him not to go to Japan. Well, in my humble opinion, Fergus Lee Warner's twice the player that young boy will ever be. So, very frustrating. But, you know, if he's not going to make the Wallaby team and he's going to stay here, then someone comes out of the woodworks and offers him the most staggering sum of money I've seen in my life. It's a hard call for him, and he's getting near the end of his rugby career, probably 4 or 5 years to go, and stays here to be a Wallaby, or he takes the money, and that's what he's decided to do. We did our best to turn him around and tell him not to do that, but you know, he wants to set himself up for the future. I'm not sure going to Gloucester compared to Perth is such a good idea. I'm gutted that he's not going, but it's something we're going to do better in rugby in Australia, and AFL don't have this problem where we're a global game, and there's lots of money in Europe, and young players can get offered a lot of money, and they think they're not going to make the Wallaby team, and they think, well, why do I want to waste my time here when I can earn a good living, set myself up for the future? And that's what he's done.
Tony, fantastic. You're always accommodating. I really appreciate it. Big decision made at the Western Force. As you mentioned, it's all for the development and certainly the improvement in all quarters for a very proud club here in Western Australia. And we thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
No, not a problem, guys. And all the best.